This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have Jack Henry. Welcome.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here with you.
I came across you in a group where we communicate authentically, and I found out that you deal in teaching and sharing knowledge around breath, and I'd like to share that what you know with people and our listeners. But first, how did you get into this? Like, what brought you to breath, which is, you know, some call it spirit and prana and chi and all this stuff? How did you come to this world?
That's a great question. So for me, actually, my first experience with what I would describe as exploration of the breath was in freediving. So I was living in Hawaii, and I, at this time, wasn't even interested in the waves because I was so fascinated with the underwater world. And I found that as I was able to hold my breath longer and explore this world, I started to know some interesting effects around what was happening with my breathing. And so I started to look into it more and figure out, you know, what was happening on a physiological level. And that was really the first piece, the introduction that led me into wanting to explore with the breath, which continues to be my main driving force.
And how long ago was this?
This was about 4 years ago.
Okay. And would you say that in those 4 years, how has breath impacted your life? Like, learning about it, how has it changed how you live?
Yeah. It's been massive. There's some really big pieces. There was one moment in particular a couple of years ago where I was participating in a guided breathwork session. And this session in particular had such a massive impact on me. It felt like I was able to recognize for the first time an emotional block that I was really holding, and able to shift it a little bit. It didn't dissipate fully, but it moved, and it allowed me to recognize that part of my life that I hadn't necessarily even been aware of. I was just holding on to some pretty heavy stuff subconsciously. And so, that was a really impactful moment. And then from there, it's just progressed to, a real day-to-day way of regulating my nervous system, my sense of well-being, and continuing to push my limits and explore with what I can do with my breathing.
Was there any particular name or technique that you were using in that practice that brought that shift? What was that particular type of?
It's called conscious connected breathing, which is the main type of breath work that I teach now. But it's an interesting subject around breathwork in particular, and this word is used so often nowadays, and I think there can be a lot of potential misunderstanding or a little bit of miscommunication around exactly what it means. And to me, breathwork is just an encompassing field of breath techniques that you can use for a variety of different experiences and health benefits and outcomes. So this one, conscious connected breathing, is a guided, usually 45 minutes to an hour, connected breath work that's led by a facilitator, and is able to produce quite powerful results physiologically and psychologically.
Yeah, there's so many different practices. Like physically, you know, like with exercise, cardio, resistance, meditation, yoga, there are different kinds, and breathing's the same, right? There's so many different types. Have you tried different types of breathing practices? And have you found some work better for you than others? Have you found some that you wouldn't recommend, or that you've had negative experiences?
Well, like I said earlier, really one of my biggest driving forces with the breath is this sense of exploration. And it's something that really applies to all aspects of my life, but I'm found in particular with breathwork that finding new techniques is always fascinating. And from longer extended practices to really just short breathing techniques that help me throughout the day. I recently found for a long time I've struggled with nasal congestion, and I recently found that just exhaling and pinching my nose and holding my nose for as long as I can, and then taking a slow, gentle inhale through my nose, breathing regularly for about 30 seconds, and then repeating full exhale, pinch my nose, hold my breath there in this challenging place at the bottom of the exhale, and then breathing normally again, clears nasal congestion immediately. It's unbelievable. Wow. And I find such a useful tool throughout my day-to-day life.
Oh, cool. That's pretty cool. Well, I'll have to try that. did someone teach you that, or did you just come across it yourself, because you're always exploring these things and researching? How do you find these new techniques yourself?
Yeah, that one in particular was something I found in James Nestor's book, Breath, which has been quite popular recently, which is so exciting for me. It's so cool to see how many people are becoming interested in breath work and what increasing the intimacy of their relationship with their breath can do for their life. And people like James Nestor and his books are really helping to bring that out to the wider public.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there like Wim Hof and other people bringing breath more to the forefront. It's exciting and awesome, but at the same time, I feel it quite sad that we aren't taught this as children. You know, this is not part of our daily practice from the day we're born. You know, that's the thing we need to live. You know, above food, above water is your breath. So in one sense, great, awesome. But it's also like, well, where was this knowledge before? How come we forgot this, especially in the West, right? It's mainly in the West that we've forgotten this traditional knowledge. And it's not something we really have to learn. It's more like remembering. It's like we've forgotten, hey, because it's innate. It's in us, knowing how to breathe to change our current state of being. And for me, like, I teach 7 holistic health principles, and breath is the 4th one, and it's related to the air element, and it's related to the sacred exchange of energies, the energies within with the energies outside. And it's also relating to the stress response. Like, you know, if you want to calm yourself down instantly, the breath, that's what you can turn to. Your breath is that powerful. It can take you from being an emotional, mental wreck into being a very calm, present, grounded person in an instant, if you are consciously aware that that's a tool available in that moment of breakdown and stress. It's that powerful. Yet we aren't taught that. And it's, you know, I wish it was taught more, and that's why I'm happy to have you on and share more about this. To me, it's really important. It's more important than food. It's more important than exercise. It's more important than the water you drink. It's the air you breathe, the quality, and how you breathe. It's massive, man.
There's some really interesting points there you just brought up, and the first one I'd love to touch on is how children actually, up until the age of around 10, functionally breathe perfectly. It's something that shifts as we live lives that are spent sitting, spent looking at screens. Our posture worsens through the years. Our body sustains injury, and we start to compensate in different ways. And the functionality of our breathing for the majority of adults is vastly decreased. So that innate remembering of how to breathe is still present, you know, when we observe children. And it's something that we can really relearn. Our body is hungry for this. Efficient, correctly technical ways of breathing. The other piece that you touched on was the resourcefulness and resilience that the breath can provide. And situationally, and for me, that's a big part of the breath work that I teach is showing people how they can connect with their own resourcefulness and resilience moment to moment. So to me, resilience really is connected to your physiology. So your nervous system, supporting the nervous system, I think, is something that's kind of getting talked a lot about now in wellness communities. But breath work, and the breath in particular, is kind of the bridge between your conscious brain and your autonomic nervous system. So the nervous part of your nervous system that controls the automatic functions of the body. You can't think your heart rate lower, but you can breathe your heart rate lower. Mm-hmm. And the same applies to all of the systems of your body, from your metabolism to your nervous system function. You're able to use your breath in a conscious way to bring positive effects on those parts of your physiology. So to me, that's what resilience is about. It's using resilience in breath is supporting your body. And then resourcefulness is consciously being aware of moments where you feel stressed or overwhelmed and being able to use tools that you've learned with your breath to give yourself a little bit of space, a little bit of support in those situations. So like you said, the breath can really change you from being feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed, maybe that's upset, angry, into feeling more centered, more calm, and being able to respond consciously to input that's coming in. And that's a really powerful aspect of the breath.
Yeah, there's those states when it comes to your stress response of fight and flight, where you're more chest breathing, mouth breathing, and all the blood's going to your skeletal muscles, and your internal organs don't have that much blood to process, so your digestion shuts down, your healing and growth shuts down, because you're in a stress response. Your body's thinking you're being charged by a lion or something, so you're trying to run away or fight or freeze. And then there's the other side, which is the rest, calm, and connect response, the part of your system where all the blood's on in your internal organs, digestion's working fine, your immune system's going well, your detox system's fully functional. So for me, like when I teach people, my main focus is gut health. Breath is huge, because in Chinese medicine, the heart and the lungs are related to your gut, and if you can get your breathing in that parasympathetic rest and connect mode, then your digestive juices and your enzymes and everything just works. Whereas if you're fight and flight, if you're stressed and you're eating a meal, it could be a very nourishing meal, could be made with love, it could be blessed and organic and all this stuff, but if you're stressed, all that good stuff isn't being broken down properly, it's not being digested properly, and you're probably going to eliminate a lot of that out of your body just because you're in the wrong or incorrect state for digestion at that moment. And it's your breath that can bring you back. So that's blessing and prayer, and there's a reason why we do this. It's to bring us back to center, to ground us right before we eat this meal, right? Whether you believe in a god or religion or any of these spiritual practices, the idea, the technical scientific idea behind this practice is to get yourself into a rest and connect state where you're not stressed and you can actually break down the food, absorb the food, and absorb all the nutrients while eliminating all the things that your body doesn't need. So there's a reason and a rhyme to all these traditional practices that a lot of people may think doesn't make sense, or I'm not into that. But yeah, and this is just breath. Like, this is taking a pause, you know, sighing. Sighing is a huge thing. Sighing is one of those things. Are you able to share, like, what's your ideas around sighing?
Sighing and yawning in particular are two really amazing breathwork techniques that are often, you know, kind of looked down upon in some ways, yawning in particular, because it carries a social connotation. But both of these are really strong mammalian responses and have numerous health benefits for the body, yawning in particular. And there's a really fun yawning practice that I like to do where I take just 10 minutes to sit down and yawn as much as I can. And it's a bit of a game to figure out exactly what your yawn trigger is. And it's usually connected to sighing as well, allowing yourself to take a big, deep inhale and sighing it out and finding the point, doing something with your throat. It's hard to explain. It can really only be felt. That triggers a nice, full, relaxing yawn. And as you continue to yawn and let go of so many yawns that maybe have been suppressed because you thought it was going to be rude or inappropriate, let yourself stretch and expand. It's really amazing. Helps to bring new oxygen into the body in a big way. And
so is that the point of yawning? Is it a sign that your body is low in oxygen?
So there's actually not a agreed upon scientific reason for yawning, but it's shared by all mammals. And one thing it does trigger a big inhale and exhale, which helps to like clear air. So if you're shallow breathing, you may not be actually transferring some of the volume of air in your lungs, and doing a big full clearing breath can be a really good way to energize your system. And you notice if you really, as you yawn for a while, tune in with the effects, it feels calming and relaxing, but also focusing and energizing in another way. It certainly doesn't make you excited and energetic, but it helps you feel focused and alert.
And sighing, what's your belief around, or what's your research around the sigh? What is the reasoning there?
To what I understand, it's similar to yawning, that in a lot of ways those two are quite connected. Yawning is a bit more reflexive, but sighing is something that occurs much more often throughout the day. So we are actually quite consistently sighing throughout the day, and we rarely notice them. Usually when they do come through, they're oftentimes a form of social expression and communication as well.
I think it's to do with stress, or it's some sort of release. That's what I've found. It's like your body's holding on to something, and then the sigh just sort of lets it go for a moment. It doesn't let it go permanently, but it's like a temporary, I'll just let that go for now. it's interesting. But it is. It's a physiological response. There's a reason your body's yawning. There's a reason your body's sighing. If you have self-awareness around, I yawned or I sighed, okay, all right. Looks like I need to focus here, or I need some oxygen, or, I need to let go of something. It's good to have that self-awareness, although, even for me, I don't even realize I'm doing it that often.
Yeah, and that just touches on what I believe to be the fundamental keystone of breath work, which is breath awareness. It's just noticing your breath, and you can practice it by taking 5 minutes in the morning, in the evening, whenever you have time, or even just 2 minutes, whenever you find yourself with a 2 minute break throughout the day, to just observe your breath wherever it's at. And the more often you can do this throughout the day, the more you'll notice how much the quality of your breath shifts throughout the day. And as you practice this, you'll start to notice that you just become aware of your breathing more and more throughout your day. And it gives you extra clues to what might be happening before you maybe are even consciously aware of it, noticing stress and tension that's held in the body that's constricting your breathing. Noticing if your breathing is deep and in your belly, or feeling quite relaxed and centered. And so it's a fundamental component of breath work is breath watching, breath awareness. Can't be overstated how important that piece is to practice.
And I came to be better with my consciousness of breathing through meditation. I did a Qigong practice for just under 1300 days. So I was just doing Qigong, which is a movement practice, focusing on my breath. I had a little mantra in my head going as I was breathing in through the nose, out through the nose. And ever since then, I noticed my breath, right? I noticed my breath. I don't notice when I'm yawning or sighing, but just in my belly breathing, in my mouth breathing. I notice it when I'm eating. So sometimes, I'm a bit of a foodie and something tastes real good, I can sort of suck it down. And then I notice, hang on, slow down. You're not really belly breathing here. You're not chewing your food. You're just sort of scoffing it down in your chest breathing. You're really enjoying this, but take a moment to enjoy it more. Slow down, And again, going back to digestion, if you really want to get that food digested and broken down and not get bloating or burping or gas, you really want to belly breathe as you eat. And so definitely practice. Practice. And it brings you. There's a lot of people. Like, I was one of those people. I didn't know how I was breathing. I didn't know if I was mouth breathing, nasal breathing, chest breathing, breathing through my belly at all. I was just, the body was doing something and I didn't know what it was doing. So I was stressed, I had depression, I had digestive issues. And that's probably because I was breathing in a stress response way. And maybe if I had more awareness around that, I could have reduced those symptoms and, solved a lot of my issues a lot earlier than I did. So it does take that practice and awareness. It's like going to the gym. When you're going to lift weights, it's not the mechanical practice of moving the weight. You have to have that mind-muscle connection, right? You got to be able to connect to the muscle and lift with the muscle. Otherwise, you could be exercising a different muscle. It's the same thing with the breath. You got to have that the lungs and the heart and your nose and your mouth, what's open, what's closed, what's flowing. You got to have all that in your awareness, and it only comes through practice. So a lot of people use meditation as this, but you don't have to call it meditation. Just call it, this is my breathing practice, you know?
Yeah, there's so many ways to tap into that place. And it's really fun as well to just be aware of your breath while you're doing any kind of movement. You're walking up a flight of stairs, try and time your breathing with your steps up the stairs. Maybe you notice that you take 4 steps for each inhale. Or maybe you try and time 1 inhale and 1 exhale on each step, you know, and see what it's like to try your breathing in different rhythms with your movement as you're walking, as you're washing the dishes, seeing if you can find patterns in what you're doing and match your breathing to it. You'll find that you really drop in much more deeply into the present moment, into whatever your experience is, and you start to find the rhythm and find yourself in harmony with that rhythm of what's happening. And yeah, it's a beautiful way to, it's kind of an unending exploration with your breath and everything that's happening around you. Yeah, something that you touched on earlier with gut health and the sympathetic, which is the stress response part of your nervous system, and parasympathetic, the rest and digest. You know, so many people nowadays are living in this low level stress environment, and we often don't even really notice it because we're so used to it. But it can, yeah, affect our bodies in a lot of different ways, including digestion. So conscious connected breathing, which is the main practice that I teach, actually creates a situation to really activate your sympathetic nervous system and then safely discharge and allow that energy to be released from your nervous system. So Peter Levine's definition of trauma is energy that's stuck in the nervous system. Mm. And you notice that when you have a stress response that you're not able to complete. And completion can look like different things, but oftentimes for animals, in particular mammals, it looks like shaking. So if you can watch videos of gazelles getting attacked or antelope getting attacked, and right before they get attacked, they have a freeze response, which is when their body basically shuts down. And there's some different hypotheses around why this happens. And one, it's, you know, perhaps playing dead and the predator leaves them. Another one is that it kind of shuts their awareness off from their imminent death. But either way, if they have the freeze response and their nervous system is just loaded to the max, and then they don't die, when they get up, you'll see them just shake their whole body like crazy for a few minutes. Maybe you notice your dog do it in a thunderstorm. And sometimes they'll shake afterwards. And so this is a way of releasing stress from the nervous system. As humans, we kind of limit ourselves in our opportunity to do that. So we kind of accumulate lots of stress. Maybe it's low level stress from your environment, or maybe it's from a near car crash, or, you know, any kind of a larger stress event. And
could be an argument with your,
yeah,
you know, anyone, a boss, loved one,
whole world of it. And with conscious connected breathing, we actually breathe through the mouth in a connected way, but breathing deep into the belly. So it's full deep breaths, and for about 45 minutes to an hour, bringing, going up to a peak and then back down to safely release this energy that we build up in the body. And sometimes it's accompanied with shaking or tears or laughter. There's lots of different ways that that release can look. And I've experienced, and all the people that breathe with me often give feedback around how much lighter they feel, how much clearer they feel, how much more focused. And that's being able to release this kind of chronic sympathetic nervous system charge, come back to center, and then your food gets digested better. You're feeling more energized. You're feeling healthier. I mean, this is, as I'm sure you understand, this is holistic health. This is how it's all connected.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, so I think, I've heard of this type of breathing technique recently. What I teach is nasal breathing in and out, although, you know, breathing out the mouth's fine as well, because when you go through the nose, there's all these nerve endings that sort of activate the parasympathetic. But what I'm teaching is mainly to bring awareness and to get people into a certain state of relaxation. But what you're teaching is to bring people into a state of awareness around their stress response, and then discharging that, letting that go, which is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a big conversation right now. A lot of people are kind of becoming more aware of how important nasal breathing is. And it's so unbelievably important. You know, your sinuses, your nasal cavity is like the size of a baseball in the middle of your face. And it's filtering your air. It's moistening it. It's getting it to the temperature to meet your body. There's so many really important
things. Dehumidifies. You know, that's why there's a, when people are called mouth breathers, it's not in a positive light, right? Because people are breathing through their mouth. But, you know, so our innate natural state, like if you're not thinking about it and you haven't been trained out of it by living in the West and being stressed all the time, you would naturally breathe in through your nose, just in that relaxed state. But when you're doing these particular practices, like with you, and when you're doing a specific breathing practice, then all that goes out the door because you're trying to achieve a certain goal. But naturally, you should be just breathing in through the nose, and it should just come naturally. You shouldn't be thinking about it. But like everything, at the beginning of learning something, you got to bring a lot of awareness and practicing it. But yeah, so there is that coming in through the nose. But then I can see what you're doing with breathing in through the mouth. It really heightens you up, you know?
Yeah. Activating.
Yeah, I think I need to try practicing that, because you talked about trauma, right? And it's funny that Peter, I read some of his books, and before I read his books, I came to this conclusion myself that isn't trauma just energy that's stuck? Like there's just something stuck there. It's like you're stuck in the past, you're stuck with this experience, with this energy, and what we need to do is not to get rid of it, we need to integrate it and move through it, transform it, which to me is what the breath's all about, transforming, exchanging of energies. And so when you're doing this breath practice that you teach, you are doing that. You're transforming that trauma or that energy that's stuck. You're helping it move along and move through the person, right? You're trying to help them let it come in and go out. Because if a lot of people try to ignore it or just forget it, but it's always just sitting there. It's just waiting to come out. And it sounds like what you teach helps it move along. Is that right? Am I getting close to what you're?
Yeah, definitely. And the word that I love to use is alchemizing.
Ooh.
You know, the breath is allows us to be our greatest healers through our ability to alchemize, you know, what comes through. And yes, that's a really big core part of my practice is trauma release, trauma resolution, and coming back to your center. And that was the experience I had that led me to want to teach this and share this. And it's been life-changing for me and for many other people. And then my particular twist on it is the fact that I just love the exploration. And there's a seemingly unlimited directions that you can take in exploring your breath. It just makes it feel like every breath is magic to me. You know, it really brings magic into each moment if you're paying attention to your breath and you're, you know, either consciously watching it or using it consciously to create an enhancing effect upon your experience
of
life.
So you can see how it's affecting your body, your mind, breathing in and breathing out, or you are consciously using it for something. You're using it to act out in the world, for exercise, for creativity, for writing, for art, for work. So you can be present to it and how it's coming through you, which is quite a sensation. Like, you know, again, I never knew that what type of breathing I was doing and also how I felt during breathing. So it's like when I teach people how to practice mindful eating, the smell, the taste, the textures, trying to feel it go down and just see how it sits in your belly, all these things. The same thing can happen with the breath. How does it feel going in the nose, in the mouth, or out the nose, out the mouth? How does it feel in the lungs? How does your diaphragm feel? How does everything feel like? It's that embodied process, right? It's that embodied process. It's bringing you back into your body. Do you teach much about that?
Yes. That's, you know, one of the other fundamental pieces of breath work actually is, for me, is connecting with my body and connecting with the felt sense, which is another Peter Levine term, which is really referencing the awareness of the sensations in your physical body and how important that is. It's this whole language, this whole realm of communication that we are constantly engaged in, but perhaps not aware of, because the body doesn't always shout. It usually only shouts when something is really wrong. And so when we are able to tune in to the more subtle sensations, the more subtle communications from our body to our conscious mind, yeah, there's a whole world to explore, and usually incorporate this through, yeah, different meditations and following the sensations of the breath. Like you said, noticing how does my breath feel coming in and out of my nose? Can I notice the temperature it is when it enters and when it leaves, and noticing my breathing in the back of my throat and in my chest and my diaphragm movement and my belly rising and falling, and really dive deeply into those sensations, and then start to listen for what other sensations in my body are calling out. And no matter how big or small, it could just be an itch on my arm, and I go and bring my attention to it and just really sit with it. Notice how that sensation shifts, how it changes, maybe it passes. And then just be in that that practice of listening and receiving the communication. And that, again, helps bring situational awareness, brings internal awareness, and helps you to realize the effect that functional breathing has, that conscious eating has, that all these different aspects of our life that are so important, helps us to really recognize the impact it's having on us.
Yeah, it's bringing, it sounds like to me, like when I hear that, it's bringing ritual back into our lives, like really being conscious of, like, you know, if you've ever watched a Japanese tea ceremony, my God, you know, how very particular and specific are their movements and hands and everything about what they do. It's very specific, it's very particular, it's very mindful. So what we're talking about here is just being mindful of what's happening inside and outside of you. And for me, like, I don't really take painkillers and stuff. Like, I remember getting my wisdom teeth taken out, and that was a lot of pain afterwards. And I did my best to move through that pain with breathing. And I did very well, but, you know, it came to a point where I had to take something. But that was the only time I can recall in the last 10 years that I've ever had to take a painkiller. You know, I've had a few minor surgeries and scrapes and bumps and all this stuff, and I've breathed through them all. I've learned how to use my breath to go through pain. Have you had any experience with that, breath and pain?
Yeah, I think it really...
not just physical, as also, you know, I'm talking about all types.
Yeah. This actually just reminds me of... this is a quick story I'd like to share. When I was first kind of exploring these practices of mindfulness and of, you know, learning about qualities of non-attachment and observation without judgment, and I was on a hike, I was walking through the bush, and I was like, wow, you know, I feel like I'm really starting to get this. This is really connecting deeply to me right now. And I stepped on a yellow jacket nest and got stung probably 10 times on one leg, and I'm just running down the trail, just like, whoa, you know, trying to, I was like, it's just pain. It's just pain. It's so interesting, you know? So, and
interesting. That's one way to describe,
you know,
pain.
It's, you know, I was trying to be unattached, but it's so funny how the universe always seems to have this sense of humor with you when you're when you're, you know, learning and maybe thinking you're a little bit ahead of where you are. I think as with anything, the breath helps us stay present with and really notice the quality of whatever it is that we're feeling. And oftentimes with, sensations that feel uncomfortable, our desire is to escape them. And whether these are physical sensations or on an emotional level, escapism is quite prevalent in our community and in our culture.
And you just, so what came up with me just now when you're talking is like what you deny, what you resist persists and it grows, you know? So if there's a pain that you got and you sort of, oh no, I don't want this, it sort of just hurts. It really hurts when you face it, when you breathe into it, when you bring that pain, like physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, when you bring it in, it's not as bad as you thought. It's not as bad as it felt a second ago, just because you brought attention to it. So when there's no attention to it, it's like this unknown factor. It's like chaos, I don't want to look at that. It's so horrible. And then you turn around. Oh, it's not that bad. It's just a little puppy. It's, you know, it's just gnawing on me. It's not a big dog biting. It's just a little. So it's that facing. And that's what breath does. It's what being mindful of your breath does. It brings your attention. And to me, it sounds like it's an attention. Switching attention to something allows you to make other aspects of your life not as bad as you think, because your attention may be at some, you know, to me, it's bringing up fear. Fear is the unknown, right? You're scared of something that you don't know, but all your attention is on this unknown. And to me, that seems like a waste of energy, because you need to focus on something that you do know, something that exists right here in front of you. And that's what breath is. It's right here, it's right now. And that's what your pain is. You can bring your attention to the pain, now it's known, and that brings it down. Like, there's no imagining, there's no dreaming of, oh, hell, man, this is going to be bad. You bring it into your awareness. Oh, it's not as bad as I thought. You know, it's bad, but nowhere near the level that I thought. And that's what you teach, is that bringing your attention to what's real instead of what's imagined.
Yeah, the breath is that anchor into the present moment. Mm. If you pay attention to your breath, you can't be anywhere else than in the moment. And yeah, things in the moment are often, or almost always, manageable. Mm. It's always our kind of projection around it that makes it feel potentially unmanageable or overwhelming. And when we take stock of, how am I in this moment? Can I breathe? Oh, I can breathe. You know, I'm okay. And I think it's also what you're speaking to, it really sounds to me like it relates to the experience I've had of sensation watching, which is that when you acknowledge a sensation and turn your attention to it, it often is like, oh, okay, I've been heard. And then it shifts. It shifts and changes.
It's like a child, right? They just want to they just want to be seen.
Yeah. And if you stub your toe and pay attention to it, it might not stop hurting right away. That's not the point. The point is that it's been heard. You've checked in. You've also identified on a physical level, like, what's going on here. You really pay attention. Am I okay? Is there anything I can do? No, my body's going to be fine. You know, and move forward. It's those, perhaps the chronic pains that we just want to kind of subdue, suppress, not pay attention to, that actually maybe need to be addressed. Maybe there's a way of, really helping to support your body. Your body's calling out, hey, I really need some support here. And we could kind of let that go for days, weeks, months, years without addressing it. So using your breath to kind of build your courage to show up to those challenging sensations is
and you might powerful. Even be numb to those. So do you find that with this breathing practice, people's physical pains come up and express themselves as well as mental and emotional?
Yeah, definitely. And part of the framework that I use in these breathworks is that a lot of the time physical and emotional tension and pain are connected. In particular, yeah, chronic physical pain is related to emotional suppression. This is a framework developed by Willem Reich. So oftentimes in these breathworks, I'll use body work and physical touch to help support people during their breathwork, to bring their awareness to and release tension from areas of the body. And oftentimes people can find that through this emotional release, through this trauma release, can actually also release physical pain and tension from the body.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Holistic.
It is. Everything's connected. I think that's one of the problems why there are, you know, why are we so sick in the West? It's because we've forgotten that everything's connected. Mm. With our scientific, right, logical, rational brains, we want to reduce things and separate things and then put them back together. But maybe we should start with everything is whole and connected, and maybe if we follow all those different paths and strings and how they're connected, we'd be better off instead of trying to break things down, just follow where they go.
And the breath is such a beautiful reminder for us of that connection as well, because we all share this bubble of air around our earth. You know, we all breathe it in and out, and it flows through us and, you know, all living things nearly.
It's this one medium that we are connected to. That's why, you know, one of the concepts of my fourth health principle of breath in the air element is the exchange of energies, because you are exchanging with the entire world, not just other humans, but plants and fungi and everything. And then, you know, that goes through into the cosmos as well. You're literally breathing in and out the whole entire universe. And that, to me, that's a very spiritual and powerful idea.
Yeah.
And it almost makes me want to cry just to think that. Like, wow, okay. So I'm breathing in and breathing out. And that was one moment where me and the universe just had a little dance. You know, we shook hands. We kissed. We made love. There was a massive change of energy there. Did we just flippantly forget about that? And if you can bring, you know, I'm not saying you have to do this every second of every breath, make it a big deal. But, you know, it could be something quite sacred and quite powerful. You know, I spent a few, you know, quite a few years in a deep, dark state, and I never had this idea around breath. And, you know, I wasn't part of any religion or any spiritual practice, and I was quite lost. But now that I come to this space in my life, the breath is quite powerful in more ways than what people think, eh? I don't know how you find breath.
Yeah, I think, you know, breath is inherently spiritual. To me, it's the, you know, the big aspect of the meaning of spirituality is like transpersonal. It extends beyond ourselves. And for a lot of people, or for some people, perhaps spiritual practices, religions get cloaked in a dogma, you know, or a way of speaking certain words that make them seem inaccessible or non-desirable. But I think that the core of spiritual connection can be found through our breathing. And it's like finding that magic and realizing it's been here with you all along. And to me, that's just so inspiring. And I, yeah, love to hear that, something that resonates with you as well. And yeah, the message, you know, that you're sharing.
Cultures have, you know, different words for breath and spirit and soul and, you know, prana and chi and ki and all these things. It is sacred. And I'd love to bring, it's good that we're having awareness around breath and techniques, but what about bringing sacredness back to breathing, you know? Which, well, to be honest, would only work if we were to, because in the West, we are living in quite a polluted world. And everyone's worrying about the food and worrying about these bugs and all these things, but the number one killer of people in the West is air quality. And guess what's worse? Indoor air. It's the off-gassing of carpets and furniture and all these new fancy things. Cars, brand new car. That brand new car smell is not a good thing. So I like to bring sacredness back by, you know, having natural stuff, organic stuff, and having the air clean. You know, all these brake particles and exhaust fumes. Let's get rid of this stuff. You know, we shouldn't be breathing all these things. And it's a disservice to us. It's a disservice to other animals and the trees and the whole thing. But yeah, I'm just going on a tangent now.
Well, I love it, you know, and just another aspect of you know, modern breathing, modern breath work that I love so much is how it's become a real fusion of the scientific and the spiritual. And that just, yeah, really fires me up like almost nothing else, because it's it feels like it's bringing the left and right brain together. It's like the... there's so much intuitive, connected spirituality in our experience of breathing. And then there's also some really unbelievable ways in which we can quantify and measure and understand the system, by the systems that the breath affects and the way that it works and how fundamental it is to our anatomy and physiology. And yeah, it's such a balance. Such a blend and such a balance.
It brings balance, yeah. Are you able to give us like a short practice to bring us into balance?
Yeah, for sure. I would love to share probably my most often used breath practice, and yeah, one that's exactly for balance. It's called coherence breathing. It's really simple, but it's really powerful. And if you just do it for 10 minutes a day, it's been shown that going for 10 minutes is really... yeah, 5 is good, but 10 is much better.
What if I do 20? Am I doing twice as good?
Yeah, man, as much as you can.
More must be better.
As much as you can. So, yeah, it's really simple. It's a circular breath, which means that there's no pause between the inhale or exhale. And it's different for each person, but you want to breathe between 5.5 to 6 breaths per minute. So for That means breathing for about 5 to 6 seconds on each inhale and each exhale without a pause in between. So for me, I find 6 seconds feels the best. And without getting hooked up to machines that can read the oscillating waves of all the different systems of your body, just going based on your intuition and how and the felt sense of it is a powerful way and a powerful reminder of how you know really what's going on in your body. But basically, this has been shown to bring all of your the systems in your body that are controlled by your autonomic nervous system. So that's your metabolism, your digestion, your nervous system, your blood pressure system, your lymphatic system, the periodic nerve firings in the brain, along with many others. It brings them into a state of coherence. Coherence meaning their highest optimized level of function. So talk about balance and health. Yeah, this breathing technique really does it all. And it's really simple. Do you want to do it for a few breaths?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we'll breathe in and out through our nose for this practice. And we'll start with an inhale together. We'll inhale for 6 seconds. So beginning with an inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that was just a couple breaths that we did right there. But if you sit and breathe this way for 10 minutes, and you can either count in your head or you can find YouTube videos that will play a gentle binaural track with a bell that goes off every 6 seconds, or you can use apps like Insight Timer to set up your own bell system. If you breathe this way for 10 minutes, you will notice significant changes in the way that you feel, your energy throughout the day, and the overall health of your body. And organism in general, your body, mind, field. So this is
amazing. Imagine if everyone did this on their breaks instead of going for a smoke. I'm going for a breathe out. And it's funny because I teach actually a similar. So in one practice, you can experiment with when you give food cravings. You know, there's many things you can try, including this breath. So I say breathe in for 6 and out for 6 and do this 5 times, which is about a minute, and see if that food craving is still there. But it's amazing. So do it for 10 minutes and you bring everything back into balance. They'll definitely get rid of that craving. But that's amazing.
And this is, you had mentioned this earlier, but how lots of traditional practices, actually like sitting down and saying a prayer before you eat, is around, you know, like helping to center your breathing. This 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out has been shown to be connected to many, ancient chants, songs, prayers, hymns. So this has been, we've gravitated toward this 6 seconds in, 6 seconds out breathing for thousands of years, consciously and subconsciously. So to really be able to use it and bring it into your life, it's such a powerful thing. And recently it's been the subject of a number of studies, and it's just had unbelievable results and real significant measurable impacts on people's well-being.
I always chuckle when people come in and say, oh man, science is, you know, has proven this and then I'm like, oh, so they finally caught up.
Exactly.
What we knew for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's been an awesome chat, man. Thanks for coming on. Where can people find you, like if they want to work with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is @phoenix_breathwork. So that's phoenix_breathwork. And I post updates there with, different breathing techniques and different stuff that's going on. And you can always reach out to me there if you'd like to do breathwork online or come to my in-person breathworks Sundays at the space at 5 p.m. here in Whangaroa.
Oh, cool. Thanks for coming on, Barry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Breathe on.
Breathe on.
Excellent conversation, Jack Henry. Thank you for coming on. Breath is where everything is at. It's where healing's at. It's where balance is at. It's where being relaxed is at. It's also where love is at. So if you want to learn more about Jack Henry, follow him on his Instagram, phoenix_breathwork. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and you are love. Kia kaha.